بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد continue reading beginning a new chapter the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ترك الجهر ببسم الله الرحمن الرحيم The author, he says, the chapter with regards to leaving off, reciting out loud, Bismillahi Rahmani Rahim. The chapter with regards to the clarification of this affair, meaning that which has come in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with regards to not reciting out loud the Basmala in the prayer. So we see that this issue here is related to the previous chapter. The previous chapter, the author, he mentioned Bab al-Qira'ati fi Salah, the chapter with regards to the recitation during the prayer. And this is from that affair, from the recitation during the prayer. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned because of the great differences of opinion with regards to this particular issue, the author, he has singled out this mas'ala, this issue here, with a specific chapter to clarify the ruling. So it says, Babu Tarki al-Jahri bi Bismillahi Rahmani Rahim. The chapter of leaving off al-Jahr. What is al-Jahr? To pronounce audibly, to state out loud. The opposite of al-Jahr? Sarra, al-Sir, Nam, al-Sir, al-Israr. Al-Israr and Yusirra bihi, the opposite, to say it silently. So here he's saying to leave off saying it audibly, to not say it audibly. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He mentioned the narration of Anas radiyallahu anhu. He says, An Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, anna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa Aba Bakrin wa Umara رضي الله عنهما كانوا يفتتحون الصلاة بالحمد لله رب العالمين وفي رواية صليت مع أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان فلم أسمع أحد منهم يقرأ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم The author he says ولمسلم صليت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبي بكر وعمر وعثمان فكانوا يستفتحون بالحمد لله رب العالمين لا يذكرون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم في أول قراءة ولا آخرها. So the author he mentioned the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu and his tarjama and biography has preceded in the chapter the description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam Anas ibn Malik his kunya is Abu Hamza. The kunya that the Prophet gave him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came as a servant to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whenever the messenger came to Medina, Anas, he was 10 years old, and he served the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 10 years in Medina at the request of his mother, radiyallahu anhu, and his affair has proceeded. He's also from those who narrated more than 1,000 hadith. What are they known as? Al-Mukthiruna fi riwayat al-Athar. Naam, Al-Mukthiruna fi riwayat al-Athar. Anas, he narrated 2,286 narrations on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here he is narrating that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and likewise Umar radiyallahu anhumah, they would open up the prayer, meaning the recitation of the prayer, with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Meaning the prayer that is out loud and audible, whenever they would begin their recitation, they would begin in this manner. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhumah. The author he says, and in one narration, in another wording, he says that Anas radiyallahu anhu, he said, I prayed with Abi Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiyallahu anhum, and I did not hear one of them reciting and I did not hear one of them reciting Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I did not hear one of them reciting Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The author, he says, and also in one wording for, or one wording by Al-Imam Muslim, that he said, radiyallahu anhu, I prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abi Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiyallahu anhum, and they used to begin kanu fa kanu yastaftihun, meaning al-qira'ah. They used to open up the recitation with alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. They used to open up the recitation with alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. In this manner, he says, they would not mention Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, not in the beginning of the recitation and not in the end of it. Not in the beginning of the recitation and not in the end of it. So this issue here is with regards to reciting the Basmala in the prayer, in the obligatory and in the non-obligatory prayer. Here Anas radiallahu anhu is narrating that he prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and also with Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiyallahu anhum, and he did not hear them. He did not hear one of them reciting the Basmala out loud. He did not hear one of them reciting the Basmala out loud. And this issue is an issue that the people of knowledge have differed about with regards to this. But to summarize, in any case, with regards to the differences of opinion, if one were to recite it out loud, or if one were to not recite it out loud, the recitation is correct. And in reality, the sunnah has been established in both manners. And it has been established in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he recited the basmala out loud. And also it has been established that he did not recite it out loud. So this is something that is allowed. And it's from the sunnah both ways. So if a person were to pray behind the imam and he recited out loud, one would not find fault with him. And if he were to pray behind the imam and he did not recite it out loud, likewise one would not find fault with him. Both of them are good, and the prayer of that imam is correct. The prayer of that imam is correct. There are even narrations from Anas himself, radiallahu anhu, that he affirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited that. That he affirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited that, and other than him as well, like Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. So in any case, the issue here is that it's allowed both ways. Many of the people of knowledge from them, Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned that this is the case, but what is preferred is to not recite it out loud. But what is preferred and better is to not recite it out loud. But if one were to do that, there's no blame in that, and that's a sunnah likewise, and that has come in the sunnah as well. But what is better and more preferable and has a stronger position after looking at all of the evidences is to not recite it. Is to not recite it. So here we have Anas radiallahu anhu. He's clarifying that, and he prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is sufficient to say. But he emphasized the affair and likewise his understanding. He said that not only with the Prophet, but also he prayed with Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman to emphasize this affair. And there's a benefit from this, and that is that this issue is something that is not mansukh. It's not abrogated. And if it's something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, and then by mentioning here, yani by mentioning that it's something the Prophet did, this is sufficient to establish the ruling. But by mentioning also that Abu Bakr did it likewise, and Umar and Uthman after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is clarifying that this is a ruling that is established and continued. This is a ruling that is established and continued, and it's not something that was abrogated. Also, we see the benefit from this, the understanding of this great companion. And Anas ibn Malik, he is from the Sigar al-Sahaba, not from the Kibar al-Sahaba. Although he spent the whole time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, but he was a youth and he was young. And the likes like that, and he was not on all of the excursions and battles and so on and so forth with the companions and with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as companions, but he was his servant. But there are others who were elders and from amongst them, and they were greater than him. And he, radiallahu anhu, he understood that. And whenever he considered this affair, he looked to their actions likewise, and he used their actions and their understanding as a proof. And this is the correct deen and the correct way. Yani the understanding of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. The understanding of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman is the proper understanding, and Ali, and Ali radiallahu anhum, like this. So this is a great benefit here. But this issue here, he did not hear them reciting. But that does not mean that they did not recite. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that they would recite, but they would not recite audibly. And this is what the author, he is mentioning here. He didn't say bab tark al-qira'ah bi bismillahi rahman rahim. He said babu tark al-jahr, babu tark al-jahr. He left the leaving off of reciting audibly. So therefore, what is understood from this is that it's recited silently. So one would not leave it entirely. One would not leave it entirely. He would recite it, but he will recite it to himself. And this is the best position. This is the best position, that one, he will recite it to himself, and then he will begin with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen and recite the Fatiha from this portion out loud. From this portion out loud. But he will not recite the Basmala out loud, and nor will he leave it. Rather, he will recite it silently to himself. So this is what is understood here. From لَمْ أَسْمَعْ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَقْرَأُ. I didn't hear one of them recite it. Meaning they would recite it, but he did not hear their recitation. He did it. They didn't recite it. They recited it, but he did not hear the recitation. So this is not negating the recitation. It's negating that he heard the recitation. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that they would recite it. And this is the correct position. Although some of the scholars, they have mentioned that it's not recited at all. And from the position of the Malikiyya, that is that you wouldn't recite it at all. But Allah knows best what is correct is that it's recited. That it is recited silently. And then after that, the Fatiha from Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen is audible. This issue here, it goes back to the issue of the Basmala. Is it a verse from Al-Fatiha? Is it a verse from the rest of the chapters likewise? Or is it a separate verse from every chapter? Or is it a separate verse in the beginning of every chapter? And this is the issue that people of knowledge, that they talk about. Is it any more specific, or in general, is it a verse from the beginning of every chapter except for Surah Bara'ah? Or is it separate? Is it a verse, more specifically, from Al-Fatiha? Or is it separate? If it's... If the people of knowledge have differed about this. So some of the people of knowledge, they have seen that the Basmala is the verse from the Fatiha. Based upon that position, this belief, if one were to not recite it, not audibly and not silently, then his prayer would not be correct. Because reciting the Fatiha is a pillar. It's a great pillar. Naam? From the pillars of the prayer. So those who believe that it is actually an ayah from the seven verses of the Fatiha, it's an obligation to recite it. It's part of the surah, and it must be recited. Others, people of knowledge, they have mentioned it's not an ayat. It's not a verse from the Fatiha. Rather, al-Basmala, it is a ayah mustaqilla. It's a separate verse by itself, and it is brought to separate between the chapters. It's brought to separate between the chapters. It's not an actual verse from the Fatiha, nor from any other verse in the Quran, except for Surah An-Naml. There's no doubt about the issue here. In Surah An-Naml, Al-Basmala, it is a part of a verse. It is a part of a verse in Surah An-Naml. Who knows the verse? إِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, وَإِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانَ, and even that Sulaiman alayhi salam, he sent a letter to the queen of Saba, and in the letter it says, وَإِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. So no doubt here, this is part of the verse. But with regards to the beginning of the rest of the chapters, it is not a verse from those chapters. And likewise, it is not a verse from Al-Fatiha. This is another position. And Allah knows best, this is the best position. That it is not a verse from the actual Fatiha, nor from the other chapters, meaning in the beginning. And it is a separate verse that is brought to indicate the division between the chapters. And this is something that has been narrated from Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. He said, كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ لَا يَعْرِفُ فَصْلَ السُّورَةِ حَتَّى يَنْزِلَ عَلَيْهِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not used to know the end of the chapters and how to separate between the chapters until it would be revealed to him, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So based upon this, many of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the Basmala, it is an ayah mustaqillah. It's a separate ayah. It's an ayah from the Quran, but not part of the surah. But not part of the surah of Fatiha, and not part of the surah of the beginning of the rest of the chapters. Of the beginning of the rest of the chapters. From the greatest proofs that indicate this issue, that al-basmala is not an ayah from the Fatiha. If that's the case, what's the first ayah? There's a consensus that there are seven verses. There's a consensus that the Fatiha has seven verses. There's no doubt about that. Naam, as-sab' al-mathani. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, I was given the as-sab' al-mathani, wal Qur'an al-azim. And this is what he was given. So there's seven verses. So if one were to consider it a verse, then al-basmala, of course, is the first verse. And if those who mention it's not, then that means alhamdulillah is the first verse. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen is the first verse. In any case, however we count it, there are seven verses, both for both positions. For both positions. With the Basmala being the first verse, we know the counting. The way that it's in, we know how to count. The way that it's counted in the Mus'haf that we have today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is the first verse. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen is the second verse. Ar Rahmanir Rahim is the third verse. What's the fourth verse? Maliki Yawmiddin. And the fifth verse? And the sixth verse. And the seventh verse. We see the counting here. This is including the basmala as an ayah. But Allah knows best, it's not an ayah. And the first verse is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And this is understood from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and it's in Sahih Muslim. And he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a hadith Qudsi. What does that mean? It came from Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's narrating on Allah azza wa jalla that Allah said. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this narration, he said that Allah said, قَسَّمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. That Allah says, I have divided the salah, meaning the Fatiha. The word salah here is referring to the Fatiha. We'll see in the context of the narration. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, qassamtu as-salata bayni wa bayna abdi nisfain. I have divided the salah between me and between my slave into two halves. Wali abdi ma sa'ala. And the slave, he will have what he asked for. So here we see one point. The salah, the Fatiha, is divided into two parts. That's one important issue with regards to this. So then Allah, he says, فَإِذَا قَالَ عَبْدِي, if my slave says, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, قَالَ اللَّهُ, إِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حَمِدَنِي عَبْدِي. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, so whenever the slave, he says, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, then Allah the Most High, He will say that verily my slave has praised me. Verily my slave has praised me. So here's the first point. He didn't say whenever my slave says Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He began here, and the prayer has been divided into two. The Fatiha has divided into two. Half for Allah and half for the slave. Whenever the slave says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then Allah Azza wa Jal, He says verily my slave praised me. So he began here, not mentioning the Basmala. That's the first issue. Everybody with me? And then وَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, and then whenever the slave, he says, the most gracious, the most merciful, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي, أو أَثْنَى, he says, أَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي, أَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي, that verily my slave, he has increased or multiplied the praises, and he praising more and again, or repeating the praises on me. So whenever he said Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, he said verily my slave praised me. When he said Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, he said verily my slave praised me again, Athna alayya, and repeated the praises. With the qala maliki yawmiddin, with the qala al-abdu maliki yawmiddin, if the slave, he says master of the day of judgment, qala Allahu ta'ala majjadani abdi, مجدني عبدي. He says, سبحانه وتعالى, that verily my slave, he has glorified me. Verily my slave has glorified me. وإذا قال العبد إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين قال الله تعالى هذا بيني وبين عبدي ولعبدي ما سأل. And then whenever the person, he says, you alone do we worship and you alone do we seek aid and help, Allah, he says, this is between me and my slave will have what he asks for. And my slave will have what he asks for. وإذا قال إهدنا الصراط المستقيم he said, هَذَا لِأَبْدِي وَلِأَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. Then Allah, he will say, this is for my slave, and my slave will have what he asked for. وَإِذَا قَالَ سِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ سِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى هَذَا لِأَبْدِي وَلِأَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. That this is for my slave, and my slave will have what he asked for. This is what for my slave, and my slave will have what he asked for. So in this context here, we see that the Fatiha is divided into two parts. Part of it is for Allah, and the other part of it is for the slave. And we have a consensus that the Fatiha is 7 verses. So that means how many verses will be for Allah, and how many verses will be for the slave? 3 and 3. Then that was the 7th one. How can you divide 7 in half? You can't. 3 and a half. 3 and a half. Sah? 3 and a half plus 3 and a half is? Is 7. So half of 7 is 3 and a half. So if half of the Fatiha is for Allah and the other half is for the slave, that means that 3 and a half verses are with regards to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and 3 and a half verses are with regards to the slave. Everybody with me? It's clear? Can we count them? If we start from Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Who is that for? All praise and thanks is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. The first verse is for Allah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most gracious, the most merciful. Who is that for? Just praising Allah, mentioning His names and attributes, praising Him. Maliki Yawm al-Din, Master of the Day of Judgment. Praising and glorifying Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's all for Allah. Huh? That's all praising Allah. Iyyaka na'budu. Who is that for? You alone do we worship. It's for Allah. Wa iyyaka nasta'in. And you alone do we seek aid and help. Huh? Who is that for? Huh? No, does Allah get the help? Who gets the help? The slave. So who gets the worship? Allah gets the worship. Who gets the help? The slave gets. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. This is which number? The 4th verse. Huh? Half of it is for Allah, and the other half is for the slave. Everybody with me? The first 3 is for Allah. The 4th verse here, and the counting here, the ulama they mentioned, the 4th verse is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. If we look at this verse, we see that half of it is for Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone do we worship. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, you alone do we seek aid and help from. So seeking the aid and help from Allah, this is for the slave. And the worship is done for Allah. So this verse is divided into 2. So we see here the first 3 is for Allah. Rather, the first 3 and a half is for Allah. And the second half here is for the slave. So what about the last, or the rest of the Fatiha? What's next? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Huh? 5 and a half. Who is that for? The slave. Sirat al-ladina namta alayhim. Huh? How many is that? 6 and a half. Uh-huh. Or no, that makes it 6. How many is that? 5, 6. Huh? 5.
Still 5.
It's 5. Jazakum Allah khairan. What we say, what was half? Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Okay, that's 4. So half and half. So the 5th one, ihdina sirata mustaqim. Sirata ladina namta alayhim. That's 6. Ghayru al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin. That's 7. You see how divided? So in this division, the Fatiha begins with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You understand that? What those who consider the Basmala to be from there, they make the last verse long. They make the last verse long. But rather here, they divide the last verse. Sirata ladina namta alayhim. They stop here. That's 1 verse. Ghayrul maghdubi alayhim wa ladhdallin. That's another verse. That's another verse. You understand that? This right here is in accordance with this hadith. Exactly. This right here is in accordance. Divided that Allah says, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ. I divided the prayer between me and the slave into two halves. My slave will have what he asked for. You understand that? So the first 3.5 verses is all about praising Allah. It's all about praising Allah. And the last 3.5 verses is all about asking from Allah. It's all about asking from Allah. Asking for His help, asking for guidance, the clarification of that guidance, which path it is to and which path it is not to. All of this is in the right of the slave, in the right of the slave. So this is yani from the positions of the people of knowledge, and this is what is correct, and Allah knows best. Although the people of knowledge, they differ in each any position, they have their evidences and proofs. Another evidence that would indicate this, and it's a strong evidence, and it's from the aspect that a person he understands yani intellectually, from the aqil, one can see this, and that is, if it was from the Quran, there would not be any differing about it, because the Quran has been revealed and has been conveyed, every last letter, and it's an obligation to believe in all of it. So if it was truly from the Quran, there would not be difference of opinion about it. There would not be difference of opinion about it. If it was truly from the final revelation, if it was truly from the final revelation, there would be no difference of opinion about it. There's nothing to differ about, and the Quran has been sealed. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Allah, He preserved it. So this is another proof that the people of knowledge mentioned with regards to that. That had it been from the Fatiha, there would be no difference of opinion about that. So the fact that the people of knowledge differed, whether it is or it's not, this is a sign that it's not. Along with the evidences that have preceded. Along with the evidence that has preceded. Likewise, they mention here this hadith here, that this is how they began the Fatiha, that this is how they began the recitation. They did not recite it out loud. And had it been part of the Fatiha, they would have recited it out loud. Had it been considered an actual verse from the Fatiha, they would have recited it out loud like they recited the rest of the Fatiha out loud. But whenever they didn't do that, this is also another indication that it's not from the Fatiha. In any case, the people of knowledge are different about this affair, and this is yani, some of the benefits with regards to that. This is some of the benefits with regards to that. Another yani, reminder or issue to be aware of, that if one were to recite it or to not recite it, this is not something to find fault with, if reciting out loud. Reciting out loud, or even if a person he was upon the position that you don't recite it at all, and the likes like this, yani a believer who still pray behind him, and he will not consider that person's prayer invalid because he's praying according to what he believes to be right, and he's following a position of Imam Malik, and none of the people of knowledge had declared his prayer to be invalid, although that if they did that themselves, their prayer would be invalid because they believe that it's an obligation to recite it. So it goes back to aqidah. It goes back to creed. If a believer, he believes that the basmala here, for example, this is the importance of learning creed. If he believes that the basmala is part of the Fatiha, it must be recited. And if he did not recite it, for whatever reason, his prayer is invalid. His prayer is invalid. And if he believes that it's not an ayat, then it's not incumbent upon him to recite it. It's better and preferred for him to recite it silently, even if he recited audibly. Or even if he left it, his prayer is still valid because it's not a part of the Fatiha. We see the difference here. Aqidah has a big role. It's the foundation. Innamal a'malu binniyat. With regards to this affair, somebody might, for example, upon ignorance, believe something's haram and it's halal. Yani ash-shay bi-shay yuzkar. Yani somebody may believe that something is haram because he's not aware of it and it's halal. It's halal. It's actually permissible. It's allowed for him. If he were to partake in that, believing it's haram, what is the ruling for him? He believes it's haram. It's halal for him though. But he believes that it's haram. And he has a creed that he believes that it's haram. He doesn't know. He's unaware. He thinks that this particular drink here, oh, this is haram because of this and this like this. He believes it to be haram, but come to find out in the detail of the reality of the issue, it's allowed. It's permissible. It's from the mubahat. But then he did it anyways, believing that it's haram. Is he sinning? Is he sinning? Yes, he's sinning. Yeah, because he is now perpetrating something that he believes to be wrong. It's based upon his creed. Even though it's not wrong, he believes that it's haram. So yani, this is something that he's held accountable for. If he believed that, if he truly believed that. and he believed that it's haram, and then he did it anyways, intentionally, with this creed, then yani, he's going to be held accountable for that, even if it's not even haram. So the aqidah, it has a great place. A believer has to realize this, what he believes. And whenever he believes something is halal, this is deen. Whenever he believes something haram, even if he made a mistake with that, he's held accountable for his actions and what he believes in. He's held accountable for his actions and what he believes in. Naam, and Allah knows best. After this, the author, he mentioned another chapter. He says, Babu sujood al-sahwi. Babu sujood al-sahwi. The chapter with regards to the prostration of forgetfulness. The chapter with regards to the prostration of forgetfulness. Babu sujoodi al-sahwi. The people of knowledge, they mention this here, sujood al-sahwi. This is from the aspect of, this is mudaf mudaf ilay. And for those who understand the Arabic language or have some any knowledge with regards to this, sujood al-sahwi, mudaf mudaf ilay. They say this is min babi ilafati shay'i ila sababihi, ila sababihi. And this is from the aspect of having something ascribed to its reason. So therefore we see that the sujood here, the purpose of that and the reason for that is forgetfulness. It's forgetfulness. Sometimes we'll have a mudaf mudaf ilay, it'll be a mudaf ila zamanihi. Like Sawm al-Ithnain or Sawm Ramadan. This is mudaf to the time of the fast. The fast of the day of Ithnain, Monday, or the fast of Ramadan. Other any for example like this. Also we have the mudaf, that is making the mudaf to the reason for the thing. So that's the issue that we have here. So here we have a sujood, prostration. What is the purpose for the prostration? As-sahw, forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. As-sujood alladhi sababuhu as-sahwu. As-sahwu. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that as-sahwu in the Arabic language, it has the same meaning of a nisyan. And in general, as-sahwu, it has the same meaning as nisyan. Nisyan means to forget. Nisyanu shay wa al-ghafla tu anhu. To forget something and to be heedless about it. But this is normally with regards to something that one knows. He knows about it and he has knowledge of it, and then he forgot about it. He forgot about it and he was neglectful with regards to this. So also the word nisyan, it has two meanings. So as-sahw means nisyan. Nisyan can be used in two meanings. One of them is to forget something that one knows. To forget something that one knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, speaking about Musa, whenever he is debating with Fir'aun, Musa, he said, قَالِ عِلْمُهَا فِي كِتَابٍ عِلْمُهَا إِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَابٍ لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. And Fir'aun, he asked about the previous nations. He asked about the previous nations. And then Musa, he said, alayhi salam, قَالَ عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَابٍ. Verily, the knowledge of those previous nations is with my Lord in a book. لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. Verily, my Lord, he does not, my Lord, he's not unaware of anything. He does not forget. And he does not forget. So this is the meaning here. Forgetfulness, you need to have knowledge of something and then to forget it. And for it to slip the mind. And the likes like this. Another meaning of nisyan, forgetfulness, that is very important to understand. Likewise, it means at tark wa at ihmal wa adam al mubalat, to leave something and to have no concern for it. That's considered for forgetting something. Some people in the society, whenever they want to curse somebody else sometimes or say something bad to them, what would they say?
Forget about it.
Yeah, forget you. Like that. They talk bad like that. They say that. But meaning I'm not even concerned about you or what you're saying or have no care. Not that I forgot about it. They will say it like that. Any forget that person or just forget about this affair. Like this, never mind that issue. So here likewise, and nishyan has that meaning, to leave something and to neglect it. Yani upon knowledge, and to not show any concern for it. And Allah, he mentioned with this meaning, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those who forgot Allah. And if they forgot Allah, meaning they neglected the commandments of Allah. And they had no concern or care for the commandments and the legislation and the prohibition of Allah. Not that they forgot Allah truly, that they forgot that Allah, He's the Creator. La, but they neglected Him and His commandments and His rights. So this is another meaning of the word an-nisyan. Another meaning of the word an-nisyan. One of the great scholars of hadith, he has a work with regards to some of the sciences of hadith. His name is Ibn al-Athir. He died in the year 606, rahimahullah. He has a book called An-Nihaya, yani An-Nihaya fi Gharib al-Hadith. Gharib al-Hadith. Gharib al-Hadith. What does that mean? Gharib al-Hadith. They have also Gharib al-Quran. Gharib al-Quran. This is with regards to the terms and the words that are used in Gharib al-Hadith. And there are terms and words that are used in the narrations. And likewise, Gharib al-Quran, also there are words that are used in the Quran. And these words are words that are not used often in society or amongst the people. So because of this, the meaning is unclear to many. The meaning will be unclear to many. لِقِلَّةِ استِمَارِهَا. That the meaning will be unclear. So the scholars, they have sciences with regards to this and books written to clarify the meanings of the likes of these words. From them, yani, this book here, yani An-Nihaya. An-Nihaya fi Gharib al-Hadith by Ibn al-Athir. It's a very famous book. He said in his book, yani, about this word, as-sahu. He said, as-sahu fi shay tarquhu tarquhu an ghayri ilmin. Was-sahu anhu tarquhu ma'a al-ilmi. Tarquhu ma'a al-ilmi. To have sahu and to forget about something, sahu fi, as sahu fi. Whenever you use the word sahu with the pronoun fi, this means to leave something, yani, without knowledge. He forgot it. He forgot it. He had knowledge of it, but he forgot it. Yani to tarku shay, yani he forgot it. Was sahu anhu tarkuhu ma'al ilm, that he would leave it while he knows. If you say saha fihi, mean he forgot about it while having knowledge. He knew about it before and then he forgot unintentionally. But then if you said saha anhu, that means that he neglected it. That he neglected it. This is in the Quran. Allah, he mentioned about this in the Quran. Saha an. As-sahu an. And this is important to understand, because now with regards to salah, there's two types of sahu related to salah. What is a sahu? Forgetfulness. So with regards to salat, there's sahu fi salat and there's sahu an salat. Allah, he mentioned, فَوَيْدُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. وَيْدُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, may those people who pray, they're musallun, they're praying, establishing prayer, wail, may they be destroyed, may they be punished for them. Who are they? الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those who are negligent with regards to their prayer. Those who are negligent with regards to their prayer. So here we have عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. So this is very important to understand with this word. And sometimes it's used سَهَا عَنْهُ وَسَهَا فِيهِ. There's a big difference. سَهَا فِيهِ, he forgot about it. He knew about it, but he forgot. It slipped his mind. سَهَا عَنْهُ, he neglected it. He neglected it, and he knows that it's there. And he neglected it while he knows, and showed no concern and no care. So there's two. So with regards to salat, we have saha an as-salat, or sahu an as-salat, or sahu fi salat. What does the author intend here? Bab sujood as-sahu. What? Fi salat. Ahsant. As-sahu fi salat. Yani being negligent during the prayer. Forget, not negligent, being forgetful during the prayer. Being forgetful during the prayer. As for being forgetful, neglectful with regards to the prayer, then this is very dangerous. This is very dangerous. Wail is du'a. Wail. If we see wail in the Quran or in the Sunnah, this is one of those signs that action is a major sin. Al wail, it means al harak. Al harak. Huh? It's a warning. It's a threat. Nam, it's a threat, it's an indication, it's a major sin. If it comes like this, wailu li furan, or to those who do this, or to the one who's described with this, this is a sign that action is a major sin, that this is not something light. So with regards to the issue of as-sahu an as-salat, this is a major sin. This is a major sin. The people of knowledge, they have clarified that what that means. What does that mean? Al-ladhina hum an salatihim sahun. عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, that they have سَهُ عَنِ الصَّلَاتِ, they're negligent and forgetful with regards to the prayer, or they're heedless with regards to their prayer. Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned that what this includes, this term here, this word here, or this ayat, What it includes is to neglect the prayer until the time goes out entirely. هذا قد سهى عن الصلاة. He neglected the prayer and was heedless about it and had no care or concern for it until the time of the prayer left entirely without any excuse. Also, what is included in that is that one, he will neglect the prayer, the time of the prayer, all the way until the last time, just before it's about to go out. Just before it's about to go out, without an excuse. Also, this is included here. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala. Also, what is included here is to neglect the conditions of the prayer and the pillars of the prayer and to perform it properly, outwardly. This is included here. And also to neglect the khushu' and the humbleness and humility, and that the heart is present and the mind is present during the prayer. All of this is included here. And the threat is for all of these. So Ibn Kathir, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, those who are threatened with this threat here, وَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, may those worshippers be, and be destroyed or be punished, those ones who are praying. There are those who, and الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, those who are negligent with their prayer. That means that they have neglected the prayer until the time has left entirely without excuse, or they have delayed it to the end of the time. Likewise, just before it goes out, without an excuse. Or they have neglected fulfilling the conditions properly of the prayer, or the pillars properly of the prayer. This is also included. Or they did not have, and that's with regards to the outward aspect of the prayer, or that they were heedless inside of their heart with the prayer. He said, rahimahullah, all of these affairs here, they are included. And everyone who has one of these affairs, he shares a portion of this threat. He shares a portion of this threat. He says, فَاللَّفْظُ يَشْمَلُ هَذَا كُلُّهُ وَلِكُلِ مَنْ اتَّصَفَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ ذَلِكَ قِسْطٌ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. He said that this verse here, the term and the words in this verse includes all of these affairs here. And anybody who is described with any one of these affairs, he shares in a portion of this verse. He has a portion of this verse. يعني, and he says, وَمَنْ اتَّصَفَ بِجِمِيعِ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ تَمَّ النَّسِيبُهُ مِنْهَا وَكَمُ لَهُ النِّفَاقُ الْعَمَلِ. And the one who has all of these attributes here, yani with regards to his prayer, if somebody has one of them, then he has this portion of this verse is attaining to him and is directed to him, and he's considered from those who have this threat. If he had all of these affairs gathered in him, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, he said that this one, he has completed his portion of this verse. And he has portion of this verse is complete, and he has also completed the attributes of hypocrisy, yani at hypocrisy in action, and hypocrisy that is lesser than major disbelief. So this is something that a believer should be aware of. Yani this is with regards, yani this is not what the author is intending here, but yani it's important to be aware of this. As-sahu anis salat. You need to delay it out of its time with no excuse. To delay it to the end of its time with no excuse. To neglect performing the pillars or the conditions of the prayer, not to neglect that, to not perform them properly, or to neglect any of the khushu' and the humbleness and humility and the remembrance of Allah during the prayer. Likewise, all of this is included. All of this is included. And there's a narration from Anas radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Tilka salatu munafiq." In some narrations, he said it three times. This is the prayer. This is the prayer of the hypocrite. This is the prayer of the hypocrite. This is the prayer of the hypocrite. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَجْلِسُ يَرْكُبُ الشَّمْسِ حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَتْ بَيْنَ قَرْنَيْ الشَّيْطَانِ قَامَ فَنَقَرَهَا أَرْبَعًا قَامَ فَنَقَرَهَا أَرْبَعًا لَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِيهَا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. He said, this is the prayer of the hypocrite. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will sit and he will observe the sun and he will wait till it's about to set. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will wait until the sun is between the two horns of shaitan, meaning right at the moment, just before, to the very last moment, he would delay it till the time whenever it's disliked to pray asr, and he without an excuse, to pray it just before the sun set. And then he will hasten and he will pray and he will peck out four rak'ah, and he peck them out. And he, like pecking the naqara arba'an, he will peck them. That's what a naqar is, pecking like a bird will peck the ground. He will pray the four like this. لَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِيهَا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. He will not remember Allah in his prayer like this much. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he describing here for us the prayer of the hypocrite. And he mentioned here that he's delaying the prayer to the end of its time without excuse. from the signs of the prayer of the hypocrite, they'll delay the prayer without a legislative excuse to the end of its time. So this is something to be aware of. And likewise, to not have concern with the pillars of the prayer. He's pecking it out like a crow, pecking the prayer out, not performing indication. He's not performing the pillars properly. He's not performing the pillars with tumanina that is required. And also with regards to the khushu', he says, وَلَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِيهَا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And he does not mention Allah much inside of the prayer except for a bit. So likewise, he doesn't have khushu'. So this is the one who has any asahu عَنَ الصَّلَاةِ. And those people who pray, Allah, he says, وَفَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. And if there are people who pray, they establish their prayer daily, they're musallun. But how do they pray? They pray like this, with negligence and heedlessness, with regards to the time of the prayer, with regards to the pillars and the conditions of the prayer, with regards to the humbleness and the humility and the remembrance of Allah during the prayer. All of this is from the aspects of the prayer of the hypocrite that a believer, he will strive to be free from. He will strive to be free from. This is a sahu an as-salat. We've seen that a sahu with regards to salat, there's two types, a sahu an as-salat. As for a sahu fi salat, السهو في الصلاة. That's what is intended here. And that is عدم تذكر المطلوب في الصلاة عند الحاجة إليه. That a person, he will forget what is required for him to do during the prayer whenever he's supposed to do it. He will forget that he's supposed to do something in the prayer at the time he's supposed to do it. He forget his mind. It slips his mind. This is what we're studying now. This is not, the first one was an admonition and a reminder. The second one now is to learn the ruling and how to deal with this affair. And this is something that happens to everybody, and it happened to the best of the people, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's a great benefit here, and it's been narrated from Atta' ibn Dinar. He died in the year 126. He said about this, the difference between as-sahu an as-salah wa sahu fi salah. He said, rahimahullah, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi qala an salatihim sahun. And because how does it begin? Fawailul lilmusallin. Alhamdulillah alladhi qala an salatihim sahun wa lam yaqul fi salatihim sahun. All praise and thanks is to Allah, the one who said about those people, may those worshippers who pray be destroyed, may they be punished. Those who, with regards to an salatihim, they're heedless about their prayer. He didn't say fi salatihim. Because if it was fi salatihim, then al-wayl would be for everyone. Waliyadu billah. But Allah, he didn't say that. And all of this also goes back to the great importance of learning the Arabic language and the benefits that come from knowing the meanings of harf jar only. The difference between an salatihim and fi salatihim, a great difference. Alhamdulillah, he said an salatihim, and he didn't say subhanahu wa ta'ala fi salatihim. So as-sahu fi salat is whenever the heart, he forgets something that it's required for him to bring it. It's required for him to bring it. So this is what is intended here. And there is two sujood for that. There's two sujood for that. And the people of knowledge, they mention the benefit for this sujood is jabru al-khalal al-waqir fi salat, that it is to rectify the mistake or the error that occurred during the prayer. To rectify the mistake and the error that occurred during the prayer. And likewise, targhim and shaitan. Targhim and shaitan. And also targhim, and the Arabs, they say, raghima anfu fulan. Raghima anfuhu, may his face be in the dirt. May his nose be in the dirt. And may he be disgraced and be despicable. So targhim, this is to disgrace somebody. And this is in reality targhim al shaytan. And there's a narration that we will read inshallah about this, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that this will be a means to disgrace shaytan, because shaytan, he comes and he will try to corrupt the prayer of the person and cause him to forget and cause him to lose count or to do something or to forget something, to add something or to leave off something. But Allah, out of his mercy and his kindness, he has made these two sujood a means to rectify that and to belittle and to disgrace shaitan, and that he will not be able to win and to reach his objective if a believer, he learns how to rectify his prayer. Also another benefit is that he will fix his ibadah. He will fix his ibadah and rectify that and have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.